Hey guys, it's Toby real quick. Just wanted to let you know that next Friday, Friday the 13th, July 13th, 2018, we're coming back and we're going to do a live special on our YouTube channel. We're not 100% sure how it's going to work out, so it's either going to be awesome or it's going to be a train wreck. So we hope that you will join us and you'll chat with us through that feature. We're trying to work out if we can have listeners call in, but as of right now, it'll just be a chat room, and we'd love for everyone to come check out the show. Keep a lookout on our social medias for what time we're going to do it. We're still trying to get everything straightened out. Friday the 13th. We are coming back, and we would love for you to listen live and hear me mess up words live, where I can't edit myself saying and other terrible things I do. But I hope you enjoy this takeover.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The Darkness Awaits.
Good evening and welcome to Secret Transmission.
Hello everyone and welcome to Secret Transmission Podcast. Wait a second, what are you doing here?
Wait, what's going on here? Who is this?
It's Zinger.
Zinger.
Who's this?
This is Derek from Monsters Among Us.
And I'm Zinger from Zing This. I thought I was taking over Secret Transmission this week.
Toby, what the hell's going on here?
Wait.
Who was supposed to do Secret Transmission Takeover this week? Did you double book?
Oh, I definitely double booked. I don't know what to do about this, guys.
Well, okay, fine. Whoever has the better topic can go. Fair enough?
Yeah. What kind of topics are y'all thinking?
Well, I was going to do the Cadborosaurus.
What the hell? Oh, come on! I was going to do the Cadborosaurus.
What? Toby, you need to decide who's going to do the Cadborosaurus.
Do we got a Rochambeau here? What's going on?
I don't know anything about this. Why don't y'all both tell me about it?
He doesn't know anything about the Cadborosaurus?
Wait a minute. This could be fun.
Yeah. I say we tell him about the Cadborosaurus.
Let's do it.
All right.
So, you guys can, go ahead and start telling me about this Cadborosaurus. How do you say it?
Cadbury Bunny.
Cadbury Bunny. I like that.
Sorry.
No,
Cadborosaurus.
Cadborosaurus.
With the Greek root word "saurus," meaning lizard or reptile. Cadboro kind of is the Cadboro Bay in Greater Victoria, British Columbia, is where apparently it's mainly located and the mythology comes from. Derek, I guess if you want to tell us a little bit about the mythology of it and its origins.
Cadborosaurus wilsi, or Caddy for short, is a serpent-like sea creature found in the Pacific Ocean from southern Alaska all the way south to San Francisco. The creature is usually reported to be between 30 and 40 feet, but witnesses have described it being as long as 60 feet. Witnesses have described the creature as truck tires in the water. Its skin is often depicted as having scales and green, gray, or brown tones. The head is said to resemble that of a horse or a camel.
Definitely a chimera-like description of cryptid, which isn't uncommon. So, Toby, you said you aren't familiar with this at all?
No, I don't think I've ever really heard anything about this particular cryptid.
Well, I'll tell you what me and Derek are going to do. How about this? Since we got the description of it, and we got kind of a vague, you know, origin and kind of area it's in, how about me and him kind of go over some other myths, some sightings, some possible explanations, and see what you and your listeners out there come to with a conclusion on whether, You think this thing's really out there or not?
So you're saying I had to do little to no research on this, and I just get to
listen
to you guys.
Better not have done any research.
I have completely come into this with no knowledge, and that's how I come into every show, mostly.
I was about to ask if this will be any different than your normal programming.
So yeah, no, I'm ready. I want to hear these stories.
All right. I know that there is some First Nation accounts of this creature as well. It's traditionally descriptions are used throughout like Alaska and stuff like that. And by the way, most of the people do have a nickname for it, Caddy. And in lieu of us trying to say Cadburosaurus way too much, I'm going to transfer to just saying Caddy from now on. Okay with everyone else?
That's fine with
me. I like the shortened down name a lot better, Caddy.
So this is, like I said, a creature that was described by First Nations people, and it is something that, and it is a creature that also has had over 300 claimed sightings in the past 200 years. And that's, of course, as we said, from all the way up in Alaska, all the way down to San Francisco Bay. So that's a very wide area that this thing possibly could live in. As well as, and we'll get to it later, apparently some live captures of the creature.
And a carcass.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I hope you'll have the answer. Are these sightings usually like off the shore, or is it more into the water? You know what I'm saying?
Both.
They range.
Oh, is it okay? I didn't know if it was something that was creeping close to the shore at all times when it's seen, or if it's something that's, you know, only sailors are seeing when they're your fishermen or whatever, you know, way off the coast.
I don't believe that there's a single on-land sighting of Caddy. I may be wrong, but I haven't found a single one. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that it's a strictly water creature. And, you know, judging by the description, it's a long serpent-like entity or being, I guess. It has four flippers and a fluked tail and is often seen, you know, in the sounds and the bays there in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay. Does anyone have like a size estimate? I don't know. I may have just not heard.
Well, I already said it once, Toby, but I'll repeat it again. It bears repeating. 30 to 40 feet on average.
Okay.
But up to 60 feet with a few witnesses, which is a pretty big animal to be out in.
Right.
You know, and especially in that area, the seas aren't exactly rough. I mean, you know, you get out into the Bering Strait and all that, everything starts to get rough out there, but when you're in these isolated bays, the water's fairly calm, and you can actually see these creatures and see the humps and see the head sticking up out of the water on occasion. So the visibility there is pretty good, and I believe the water's fairly clear, too, so that also helps.
Now, I will admit, when we were doing research for this is something that I'll openly admit now. I'm not an expert on cryptids or anything like that, but I thought the Cadburosaurus was like a description for like a lot of the like lake and sea monsters. I didn't know that it was referring to a particular one or a particular type of them that might be up and down the northwest coast of America and of North America. There we go. So that was surprising to me because I was like, oh man, That's like any sea creature thing that, and it's like, no, apparently it's just this particular one with this description.
Well, not only
so that was something interesting that I found out.
Not only that, but this is one of the few cryptids that has a large amount of evidence, you know, supporting it. That, like we mentioned before, and we will get to later, there was a carcass, there was a juvenile supposedly caught. There's some decent video out there, and there's a photo of the carcass as well, which we'll be discussing. So. For me, as far as you know, lake and sea monster creatures go, this is like the holy grail. Like this is the most logical, most probable sea creature out there that we haven't discovered as far as, you know, serpents are concerned. So I'm pretty excited about this one myself.
Well, let's go over some of the, go ahead, Toby.
I was just going to say, and when we say serpent, we're talking about Satan's creature, like a snake.
Don't bring him right. Don't bring him up.
Well, he's on vacation right now.
Oh,
don't
good.
Worry about him. He's
good. Good.
He's a.
Did you get the smell out of the studio? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Noxious odor.
Yeah. So is it? It's snake-like. I'm trying to make sure I'm getting the full image, and I hate snakes with a passion. So I need to know how much I hate this creature as we discuss it.
So, all right. Well, but it's got let's flippers. Show you
okay,
a pic.
You said it's got flippers, so yeah. Okay, you're going to show me a picture.
Here is one of the carcasses that they supposedly found, and if I remember correctly.
So this is from the 1937 Naden Harbor discovery, I guess you would call it. So basically a bunch of whalers brought in a sperm whale, cut it open, and processed it as they do. And in doing so, this spilled out of its stomach. And immediately, none of the whalers there had any clue what it was. They knew it was something they'd never seen before. And I highly encourage, Toby will put up this picture in the show notes, I'm sure, but I highly encourage each of you to go look at the photograph. Look at the creature's face and tell me that does not look like a camel. And that's one of the huge descriptions for this creature is that they have a camel or horse face. The carcass itself appears to be, I'm just guessing based on the crates, maybe 10 to 15 feet long, maybe 12 feet long to be more precise.
I'd say about 10 to 15, 20 would be.
Yeah, 20 would be a stretch, but we don't know if there's part missing or if that's, are we looking at the tail back there? You can't
it
really
looks
see
like
any
a
fins.
Giant snake.
It does.
Yeah, I don't see any.
It does look like a giant snake that's maybe a bit
If you look, you can see maybe flippers right there.
Or a tail fluke, perhaps.
Tail fluke there, and then if you go up
you go toward
there,
the front,
that
looks
maybe.
Like a fin, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, I wouldn't mind if you take this picture off my screen right now.
this is great podcasting, by the way. We're just discussing a picture people cannot see.
It's a disgustingly long, fat-ass snake is what it looks like, and it's black and white.
Well, this now, story gets crazier. I got to cut you off real quick, Zinger. We got to finish this up.
Go
so, like I said, this was in 1937, Naden Harbor, British Columbia. The whalers knew this was something strange, so they packed it up, put it on ice, and they were sending it off to the BC Provincial Museum, which I guess is a big deal there. I've heard it mentioned several times in my research. So basically, it was sent there, and not enough of the actual creature showed up for them to make a positive identification, but the guy, the director there, Francis Kermode, determined that it was probably a baleen whale. What you think about it, whalers found this thing. And I'm sure they've seen whales in all state of decay. And they're going to, you know, mistakenly identify a baleen whale. It just didn't add up for me. And as I do on my show, I brought some clips. So, Toby, if you want to roll the, what was this fella's name? Jim Wakeland was a witness that day. And I have a little bit of audio with an interview from Monster Hunters, a television show in the late 90s.
But there is still someone alive who remembers. Ed and Jason pay a visit to the home of Jim Wakeland, a worker at the whaling station where the creature was discovered inside the whale.
I don't know what it was, but it certainly wasn't a fish. And it wasn't an unborn whale, I know that. There's no doubt about it.
Seen in this photograph holding a fetal baleen whale, Jim knew the difference between the freakish creature on the dock and a young whale, as the carcass was classified at the time by Francis Kermode, curator of Victoria's Provincial Museum.
And the head did not arrive in Victoria, and I don't think a lot of it arrived in Victoria, so when this fellow Kermode had a peek at it, he didn't have very much physical evidence to go by, so he did not take it seriously.
How are you going to know what it is unless you can compare it to something? I couldn't say it was a horse, could I? It didn't look like a horse. So I don't know what it was, but it was definitely something strange, that's for sure. That thing was to wake up tomorrow and floating off somewhere. I could say, I saw a serpent, but did I see a serpent? What was it I saw? I don't know. Do I? You can't tell me either. You still can't tell me it's a sea serpent, although it looked like one.
So we'd like to think that somewhere out there, someone has got a sea serpent skull growing dust on their bottom basement closet, and one day we may find this.
That's creeping me out even more on the
check
on the
your
snake
closets.
Idea.
Please check your closets.
I think it's interesting, and I think you bring up a good point, the whole these were whalers. How would they mistake a baleen whale or even a fetal baleen whale in any state for, like, mix that up. I don't know. It's just that part to it just rings as weird that they make a mistake like that.
Yeah, yeah. And as the video says, it actually shows a picture of this guy, Jim, holding a fetal baleen whale. So you know he knows what those things look like. He's in a picture with one. He's literally holding it up with this big pole. So yeah, there's something weird going on. My thought here is that this is just speculation, but I think this happened, I believe, in October, so maybe it was still warm then. They put this thing in like a makeshift cooler for 1937 and shipped it off. By the time it got there, it started leaking, started getting stinky, so the Postal Service was like, hell with this, and they just kind of kicked it off to the side. And only a few little pieces showed up, and it wasn't enough to identify. And he's like, whale, whatever, just get it out of here, it smells. And I feel like that's how this whole thing went down. And if this were to happen today, you know, we have refrigeration and stuff, so, you know, it may be a different situation. But it's really unfortunate that the specimen itself disappeared on us.
I'm looking at pictures of the baleen whale right now, and it does not, there's no way that looks anything like any kind of baleen whale.
So just as a quick explanation for the listeners, baleen whales are basically humpbacks, anything that's a filter feeding whale. And they're fairly big too. So, I mean, even a fetal one, I mean, that's still going to be pretty big, but,
right.
I'd like to think that people who hunted whales, chopped them up, probably saw every different part of them, wouldn't notice that it's like, oh, wait a second, that head right there, that's definitely a fetal humpback. Like, it's just, I don't know, that part to me rings as like, how would they not notice that at all?
Right.
The skulls don't even match up. If you look at the picture and then, you know what a whale skull looks like, it doesn't match up at all. Whale skulls are very heavily under...
Broad.
Yeah, well, they're really broad, they're really big, but they're all lower jaw, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't look like that in the picture. It's all like, you see a cranium, you see like a nasal passage, you see all the stuff you would expect to see on a sea creature that's described to look like a camel, honestly.
Well, and it looks like all the whales have like bigger midsections, and this creature in the picture looks like it's the same width throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like a freaking snake.
Which is consistent with a lot of the sightings. You know, most of the descriptions say it's a foot to a foot and a half wide. So it's a long, slender creature, you know, like a snake. So you're right in saying that it's obviously not filled with fat and all these other things, which I guess we could conclude it's probably not a mammal if it doesn't have fat stores. I don't see it surviving in 50-degree water for very long. Just an observation that I thought of.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to point out is the whole argument that it is a baleen whale or something like that is because it's the spine is what's left. And it's like, are you telling me that the ribs broke off, all these other pieces broke off from it, and this was still the only thing left?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, once again, it still doesn't ring true to me as something that they'd once again confuse.
Now, of course, like I do on my show, I have to play devil's advocate a bit here. And I've seen this kind of thing with...
I'll play that more later.
Well, I've seen the kind of thing with Bigfoot tracks where you see a weird track and like, oh, if there was like a toe here, and you just kind of poke at it a little bit, and eventually you make a toe, and like, oh, well, it's a Bigfoot track. Like, in your head, you didn't alter it, but you did. You did alter it. Now, I'm not saying people do that, but I'm saying that I've seen stuff like that done. So I say all that to say this. What if these guys pulled this deformed, maybe it was, you know, deformed at birth, so it died and this thing came by and ate it, whatever. So they pulled out this deformed creature and I'm like, oh, well, if we took all the ribs out, it looks like a strange creature, like this catty creature they're talking about. So they kind of poked here, poked there, removed a couple ribs and then put it up for the photographer and we have our story. But I have a hard time believing that because I went back and listened to Jim Wakeland's account. And the guy sounds genuine. You know, I hear callers left and right all the time, and I can kind of get an idea of when people are not making things up, but, you know, it's a story or if it's an account. There's a difference between the two.
When
and
they
for
believe
him,
what they're saying.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like a lot of people believe what they're saying, but are they exaggerating? Are they, you know,
right.
Something like that? And I didn't get any of that from him. Like, the story he told was, he's like, I don't know what it was. It was weird, and we thought it was so weird we took a picture of it, and it disappeared. I have no clue, and... Those are the kind of stories that you tend to believe. The less details you have, the more believable they are, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want details. I want all the details.
All right, do we got some other sightings we can go over for Toby?
Yes.
And the listener?
Yes. Tons. You want to kick it off there, Zinger? What do you got?
All right. I've got one. This one's interesting. This one took place in... Now, this is still citing carcasses and stuff like that, mind you. So, this one took place in 1947 in December. And this one took place in the Barkley Sound in Vancouver Island. A approximate 45-foot creature was found. It was later identified to be a shark, though. Here's the strange thing. How many 45-foot sharks do you guys know of?
Well, I got you on this one. The Baskin shark.
Do you?
The Baskin shark.
Yes.
I don't know that it grows to 45 feet, but it grows somewhere similar, somewhere close, maybe 30 feet. They're huge. They're huge creatures. And their bones are made mostly of cartilage. So when they do decay, we do see that, where it has a big head and a long, slender body, because the backbone seems to preserve longer than the ribs or any of the other cartilage that's in the creature. So I didn't mean to hijack your thing there, but...
Just to point out real quick, though, most basking sharks are... The bigger ones are around 40 to 45 feet.
Oh,
that's on the big side for them.
Y'all are reminding me why I do not care for the ocean.
By the way, these are filter-feeding sharks. Yeah. They are not something that would eat you, per se.
That doesn't matter.
They might just try to chew on you, but they'll spit you out.
They'll just gum you real hard.
Gum you good.
So let me ask you this, Zinger. Maybe you know this. What is the range for the basking shark? Can we find that in the Pacific Northwest?
Actually, yes. It is right in that sweet spot of where it would be in the Pacific Northwest. The only area they are not in are the Indian Ocean and the equator area for the most part. Even though they do kind of look like they go down near Hawaii, and I know that there was a sighting of them in Hawaii recently. They are very rarely seen sharks.
Interesting.
Like our creature.
Yes. Also, just another fun thing to point out real quick, the other shark that would be close to this length would be the whale shark, but they normally clock in around about 41 feet. But... their range is not that far north.
And their head is about 8 feet wide, I think.
Yeah. Yes. They also, I just wanted to point this out.
They are
also like the complete reverse of the basking shark, to where they basically hang out around the equator. Just wanted to throw all those out there real quick, because like I said, a 45-foot shark is something that's definitely interesting, but there's only a few candidates for that.
Well, I can tell you with certainty that the basking shark has been mistaken for other sea monsters around the world. I wish I could come up with one off the top of my head. I want to say the Gloucester monster, but that's a shot in the dark.
I know that there's one where it shows a picture of like them on a fishing trolley or something, where they've hauled something up and it looks like a plesiosaur almost.
The Japanese trawler.
That one is a basking shark, because the complete head area is rotted away to where it only has, like, the spine left.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of the ribs and stuff are still there, so that's making the effect of having, you know, flippers and stuff.
Yep.
But like I said, that's... I mean, they are made of cartilage, so they do decay very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the basking shark is definitely a logical explanation, but I also feel like the conditions would have to be perfect for this to occur, and we've already talked of two carcasses that were found. So those conditions were perfect twice in a number of, 20 years. So it starts to be, it's kind of like, I guess, Occam's razor, where you're like, which side of this are you going to fall on? Which is more plausible?
The funny thing is, a lot of the other sightings I have like little quick explanations for what they think they are. And a lot of them, basking shark, shark, basking shark, shark, like those come up a lot. Mm-hmm. Whale shark. So it's one of those things where it comes up a lot, but I'm like, I thought basking sharks weren't seen that often. Or maybe I'm thinking of the megamouth.
You're probably thinking of the megamouth, but basking sharks are quite rare from what I've heard. I've never seen one, but I also don't go more than like chest deep into the ocean. So.
for the reasons of Caddy and real sharks.
Yeah, you know,
that will eat you.
I've been around great white attacks several times, so that's okay. I'll stick to a pool. I didn't actually see it happen. I was just there on the day and just the pandemonium that was taking place. So not only did we find carcasses, or did they find carcasses, I have a report of a gentleman that found a baby caddy. So in 1968, a man named W. Hagland, I believe is how you pronounce that, W. Hagland, claims to have caught a juvenile caddy creature on DeCourcy Island in British Columbia. And apparently he felt sorry for the creature and let it go. Womp, womp, womp. A lot of people suspect that this was probably a pipefish, which is like a, I guess it's like a seahorse, sort of. It kind of looks like an elongated seahorse. But they only grew up to 26 inches, so... I don't know how small this baby caddy was that he caught, but you'd think a baby creature of a 4 to 5 foot creature would be bigger than 26 inches, but I don't know. I guess it's really hard to say.
Now, I will admit the pipefish does look a lot like the description of caddy, but once again, that's really tiny, and I highly doubt all these sightings or, you know, the sightings or the carcasses all washing up are these, like, 3 foot long pipefish, or how long did you say they were?
26 inches is their maximum length.
Okay, so sorry, let me rephrase that. This like 2 foot long creature that people are able to spot from like massive amounts of distances and be like, oh, it's a pipe. That's not a pipefish, it's caddy. It has to be.
Well, also, when you see a pipefish, you immediately think, or I do at least, I know it's a fish. I could see that. And it looks like a seahorse. Yeah, so I would think,
it's just elongated seahorse.
A straightened out seahorse is what I would think. I wouldn't think Cadbury. I certainly wouldn't Cadbury. Cadburosaurus. And I certainly wouldn't think juvenile caddy. So I don't know. And that's not the only...
Live capture,
yeah. Do you have the other one, Zinger?
I do. It happened in July of 1991. John's Island... Phyllis Horace claims to have caught a small 2 foot baby caddy and then returned it to the water.
Seems to be a running theme here.
Now, 1986, I can understand maybe not having a camera around. But 91, I'm sorry, that was the you take a picture, pull it out, shake it. That was prime Polaroid picture era. You're telling me someone couldn't at least have gotten one picture of this thing?
Yeah, before they threw it back into the water.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it makes me think they knew what they saw, and they're like, oh, well, I caught a baby caddy, and it's kind of a story, and maybe it got out of hand for them. It's probably a pipefish, let's be honest. You know, the size is right, the location's right, and it doesn't say how either of these creatures were caught.
Wait.
So,
yeah, 2 foot would be, yep, that would be exactly the length and everything.
So I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the baby caddy encounters that I've read anyway. I just don't buy either of them. If these creatures, yeah. here's the biggest thing. Sorry, Toby. Here's the biggest thing. If these creatures, these infants were so easy to catch, we would know about caddy by now. Two people managed to catch infant Cadburosauruses. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Moving on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a misidentification. I think that's mostly, I mean, you know, if someone sees a mouse, like my girlfriend, Kristen, if she says she sees a mouse, she's going to say, I saw a rat.
Fiance.
Yeah. She's going to say something, you know, much bigger than this teeny tiny mouse, you know, or, oh my God, there's a big tarantula in the bathroom and it's this itty bitty, like, daddy long legs or, you know, something really small.
Well, fear has that ability on people to,
right,
you know.
So if you get this 2 foot long weird creature and you've heard these stories of the caddy, then it's easy to be like, I think that was a baby caddy. you know, it's real easy to put that in its place.
Yeah. And I certainly don't blame them. You know, you're excited. You find something like that. I certainly would be. Even if I found a pipefish, I'd think twice. I'm like, wait, okay, it's a pipefish. Or I wouldn't know what a pipefish was off the top of my head. I'm not that crazy. But I recognize that it was a known creature. And now I have my phone. So I'm like, oh, well, what's this thing? And I'll know in 30 seconds. But back right. in the day, that wasn't an option.
Well, like anytime I see a snake at work, because I've run into stupid snakes all the time, I'm like, I swear it was black, and it's a, what are the very dangerous black snakes that I can't think of?
Black
copperheads,
mamba?
Rattlesnakes?
Copperheads, I think. I'll be like, it was copperhead, and then someone will show me a picture of it, and I'm like, oh, that's not at all what that was. That was a grass snake. I'm an idiot. So
You have some sweet snakes down there, too. You have indigo snakes. No. Those things are amazing.
Hey, the rattlesnakes, they stopped rattling. I don't know if you know that. Here's a warning. They stopped rattling because wild hogs are hunting them and stuff, so they don't rattle anymore, even when you get their little rattler thing. So the more you know.
Weird.
Great.
Yeah, they've evolved and adapted to kill me.
That's just what we need.
So anyways, what about Caddy? Not
well,
rattlesnakes.
I'll tell you what. You know, again, like I've said like 8 times now, as I do on my show, I like to play clips and I like to play stories. So I brought along 2 first-hand encounters of Caddy, and they're both pretty short and not full of detail, which we've already talked about, but they're both still from Monster Hunter's TV series, which if you guys can find it on YouTube or something, I highly recommend checking it out. I remember watching it years ago and kind of falling in love with this creature then. So here's those clips now.
Bob Iverson, an experienced commercial fisherman who knows his sea life, believes he saw the Cadborosaurus from this patio.
I saw this thing, right? And it was like tires coming up, in one here, one there, one here, and I got up, looked, tried to see it, it was gone, and then I saw it again halfway between here and the Green Buoy, which is, it's a good distance out, good 15-minute row to get to that far. So it was moving fast.
And actually turned around and came back.
In one of the most famous Deep Cove sightings, Terry Oslin was out walking early one morning when she came face to face with a 40-foot Cadborosaurus on the beach, rearing its head up in front of her.
And as I came up to where the steps go down, this head popped up, and I looked straight into the face of this creature, which was, almost a foot wide in the face, and then it dropped its head down, and I sort of backed off, and I heard a splash, and I went to look over again, and I saw it going into the water, and it, just the tail end. Well, I definitely knew I'd seen something because not only did I see it, but I could smell it. And it left a funny taste in my mouth, which was sort of metallic-like. So I feel that definitely did see it because there's 3 senses, taste and the sight and the smell. And the next morning I phoned the Provincial Museum to ask them about it, and they said they thought I'd seen an elephant seal, but that was definitely not an elephant seal.
It really makes you afraid of the water, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This brought up a good point of something I wanted to talk about, because I was going to get into possible misidentifications or creatures that could be identified as Caddy. But this just is interesting because you have people that live on the water, that are near the water all the time, that are still claiming to see something that isn't any known creature. I can tell you this now. I've seen deer, I've seen chipmunks, I've seen bear, I've seen raccoons, I've seen any number of animals that live in my local area. I can, at a glance, normally be like, oh, hey, that was a deer over there. Like, it's something to where I'm not sitting there going, what the heck was that? Like, that's why I take some of these people who live there and are on the ocean, or, you know, even fishermen and stuff like that, they're there all the time. They know what they saw if it's not something normal.
I got something for you here, Zinger.
All right.
Speaking of fishermen, probably the most famous Caddy encounter was caught on film. And for those that don't know, Kelly Nash, who was a fisherman in Alaska, shot a couple minutes worth of footage back in 2009 of a fairly flat surface. I guess it was raining. And you could see these creatures jetting across the water, popping their heads up. And they showed the footage on a Discovery Channel program called Hill Stranded, which were the idiots from Deadly Catch. They went out and tried to catch the creature. They went to Lake Iliana for the Lake Iliana monster. So the footage was displayed on the program, but it was not the entire video. Apparently, there's several minutes of this video where it shows the creature pop up out of the water. You could see its face clear as day, and apparently there's a few of them. So what I did some digging, and I found an account from... I'm sure you guys know who John Kirk is, and if you don't, off the top of your head, you'll recognize him as soon as you Google him. But he actually got to see the full video. And I have a small paragraph that he wrote from an article in Crypto Mundo back in, I want to say 2013. I actually didn't write the date down. Sorry about that. But anyway, here is the account that he wrote. There is no blowhole. That is spray coming off the back of one of the animals as it surfaces while moving at very high speeds. They are not narwhals, sturgeons, pinnipeds, pilot whales, or any known animal. There is a pod of belugas that go after these animals, and I have never seen belugas behave in such an aggressive and frenzied manner. It is obvious that they did not know what these things were and went after them. There is one scene that is not shown in Alaskan Monster Hunt, which is the show that I was mentioning, where two large ones shield a juvenile from an attacking beluga. It's quite amazing stuff. I actually, way back in the day when I found out this footage existed, there was a petition going around trying to get Discovery Channel to release the entire film because they now own the rights to it. And we managed to get, I think, 2,000 signatures or something like that, but they didn't even blink an eye at that. That's nothing to them. So, as of now, the footage is still basically hidden. And I would love to watch it. To me, it's just that they don't realize the importance of the footage. They paid a bunch of money for it, and unless somebody pays for it, they're not going to see it. And I think that's the mentality. Because these corporate guys in these networks, they don't care about any of this stuff. Like, they're about money. That's all they're worried about. So
yeah, man, I that would be amazing to see, because just that little 8-second clip, Zanger was playing it for us over and over. I guess he found a version where it slowed down and they stabilized
it. Yeah, and even then it's
choppy, but you can, when they stabilize it and when they got to a good spot that was stabilized, you could really see the snake-like
undulation.
Yeah. Oh man, that was making me sick. And this picture you got pulled up right now is making me sick too.
I'll explain the picture in a minute. So another thing that gets confused, or people claim that it's, once again, that this is what people are seeing, and this goes back to me saying earlier, if people live on the water and fish, then I don't understand how they get this confused. It is a giant oarfish, is something that a lot of times people claim that that's what you're seeing, and that's what people get confused for. The picture I currently have up is a 23-foot long one being held up by a group of naval trainees. Now, this is important for two reasons. One, to get a sense of scale on how big this thing is. But two, it's a fish, so why would a fish be having to poke its head out of the water and undulate like that?
Yeah.
And these are deep water fish, too. The only time you ever see an oarfish at the surface or at the beach is when it's dead or dying, basically. And I believe I covered that on one of my episodes recently, where we discussed, you know, possibilities of oarfish being mistaken for different sea serpents. And it certainly has been done. And there's one illustration from, I want to say, the 1700s that shows an oarfish, quite clearly an oarfish. The beak's there, the crest, everything's there. But they have it pegged as a sea serpent. So it was mistaken at some point for sea serpents, but it certainly doesn't fit the bill for all of them.
And I completely understand why.
Yeah, they're really scary-looking fish, honestly.
Well, I want to go back to that clip that we were listening to about the woman speaking about her sighting, and she was on shore, it sounded like. She was on a walk, and it came up pretty close to her on shore, or it was at least, you know, close enough to where she could see the face pretty clearly. Because if you look up that seal, I can't remember what kind of seal it was. Elephant seal.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, elephant seal.
They are very distinct creatures. You would not confuse one of them.
And they're huge.
And elephant seals are the ugliest seals I've ever seen in my life, I think. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I just don't see that confusion. But that's really interesting that there was a more closer to land sighting, because going back to what you said, most of these are deep water
creatures,
fish.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever.
Well, as you keep bringing up, Zanger, I have a few possible explanations myself, and we've covered most of them, but I'm going to go through my list anyway, because I took the time to write it down. You know, the pipefish we discussed, the oarfish you just discussed, which is, to me, is a huge cliche. Like, everybody's like, oh, you saw oarfish. Like, it can't be everything. You know, whales, decaying whales, like we talked about, or maybe a whale species we don't know about yet. And they're so rare that I think a new one was discovered not too long ago,
actually,
right?
You just brought up a fun topic that can I derail you for one second?
Sure, I got a piece of paper. We're good.
Because one of these sightings was claimed to be something that, in my opinion, is even rarer than the caddy sighting. There is a type of whale called the great-beaked whales. Mm-hmm. There's like two different species of them, and they're uber rare to an extent from what I've read and can tell. And there's two different species of them. One, of course, lives in the Arctic. One lives in the Antarctic. And this has been an explanation for one of the sightings and one of the bodies, apparently. And I'm like, I can see how you might confuse that, but at the same time, these creatures are seen so infrequently, that's a weird way to explain it as, oh, you saw something that's very rare on top of being rare. Like it's the oarfish explanation. It just, I don't know, that just doesn't ring for me.
Well, it's like, you didn't see Bigfoot, you saw a thylacine. They're different.
Yeah, yes, basically. Exactly. It'd be like, oh, you didn't see a Bigfoot, you saw a gorilla in the area. It's like, well, wait, hold on. I still saw something that's really weird and rare. Sure. But just to give you guys a quick image, I should just leave screen share up at this point. Screen share, there we go. This is an image of one. Once again, great podcasting material. But I can see if, you know, let's say this was decayed out or had been decaying. I can see somebody maybe confusing it, but once again, that's a lot of ifs and a lot of perfect scenario situations to happen.
Well, I can see the confusion as a carcass. I cannot see the confusion as a live animal. The beak whales are like a light gray color, like a dolphin, aren't they?
Yeah, so that they look like just a very long dolphin.
So that's also, just for the record, we're looking at a black a drawing, so I don't know what color it is. So. But
I don't even think there's any pictures really of them.
They're super rare, and I know a new one was just discovered recently. Oh, you brought one up. Yeah, they basically look like a dolphin with scratches all over them, which I guess in the description, caddy has been described as being gray, but I feel like they would have said dolphin gray because it's kind of, if you showed me like a tiny swatch of color that's a dolphin skin, I'd be like, oh, it's a dolphin skin. Like immediately I would know that's a dolphin skin because of the color, the shape, but the sheen to it and all that. Some of these explanations are crazier than the creature itself, in my opinion.
Well, okay, this picture that you've got pulled up right now, I could see someone at a weird, like, you know, didn't see it straight on. They saw it out of the corner of their eye. I could see that being a huge mistaken for a cryptid of some sort.
Well, just in case Toby doesn't edit this out, what he's looking at is a beaked whale breaching the water in front of a iceberg, it looks like, in an ice, like the Arctic somewhere, or the Antarctic. I see what you're saying, Toby, but at the same time, like, well, I guess I'm looking at a still, so it's easy for me to say, oh, it's clearly a dolphin or a whale or something. But at a quick glance, I get what you're saying.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I've been to Alaska once, and when we were out doing fishing and stuff, like, literally, there was porpoises, there was killer whales, there was humpback whales, like, breaching and stuff, you know, off in the distance, sometimes closer up and everything. And it's one of those things to where, like, I catch it out of the corner of my eye, and my automatic response was, oh, it's probably just a whale, or probably just, like, I didn't automatically go to cryptid or something. It's like, what the heck was that? Like, it's very, like, for me, I'd have to see it straight on to really start questioning it, because otherwise I just kind of blow it off as, and I didn't see anything, because I couldn't really, like, it could have been anything for all I know. It could have been an eagle flying out of the water. I would have never known the difference. Like, that's the thing. I don't like out of the corner of my eye stuff from people because I'm like, I'd rather get a nice, good, you know, like somebody saw it. Like the one woman describing it on the beach. Like, she didn't, like, look quick, look over, look quick back, like that. So, I don't know.
And most of the sightings are, like we described early on, they're loops, like tractor tires in water. So most whales, you know, you see humpback whale, you see their little tiny dorsal fin. Dorsal fin.
Yep, you were correct.
I blanked on that one for a quick second. You see their little tiny fin come up, and you know it's a whale. I mean, you can tell right away. But when you see a hump come out, to the point where there's space underneath it. Basically, like, you know, half a tire showing. That's not normal. That's not something I've ever seen in the ocean or lakes or anywhere for that matter, outside of maybe Star Wars. It's a weird thing. So that catches people's attention right away, I would think. I actually have one more possible explanation, which kind of breaks one of my rules. I'm using a cryptid to explain a cryptid. But back in the day, back in the, I want to say 1750s, there was some illustrations that went around Europe of a long-necked pinniped. How do you say that? Pinniped? A seal. A long-necked seal. Let's call it that. I'm pulling a Toby here.
There you go.
So anyway, it's basically like your everyday sea lion or seal or whatever with like a 3-foot neck. So it almost looks like a plesiosaur. It's got the body for it. But here's the problem. Everybody's seen seals, and they're chubby little creatures. They have to have tons of blubber to keep themselves warm because most of them live in cold water climates. I know last time I was in San Francisco earlier this year, we went to the harbor and we had to see the seals. And they're, you know, up there, their fat bodies on the dock. And the water's cold, so they need this blubber to survive. Otherwise, they couldn't keep their core temperature high enough to survive, and they'll die. So when you try to apply that to this Cadborosaurus creature, it doesn't really fit because that creature is, you know, like a giant anaconda size. It's a foot across, maybe. So there's no blubber, there's no fat to keep this thing warm. So to me, it's out, but I think it's a really interesting theory, at least, what it could be.
So this is an we've described it, but this is an interesting image where it's showing an elephant seal and another seal as comparisons to where this is explained, because we haven't really gone over the sea lions or the seal's explanation for it. I can vaguely see what they're talking about with this, and the whole humps moving through the water could be, you know, a group of seals. But once again, I go back, because I will just keep reiterating this. These are people who probably know what seals look like.
Yes.
Probably see seals. So how do you consistently confuse seals with this monster? Well, I just don't go with that.
With that video footage that we watched a second ago, those seals would have had to been traveling in a really tight pack to make those, how it's dipping out of the water. It would have to be, I mean, and I don't know anything about sea creatures or, you know, anything like that or how they swim, but it looks like they would have to be, I mean, face to ass all the way through. Just because the humps are so tight and together. I don't know how to describe that because I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I think you did a good job. And that is how seals move through the water, though, which is the strange thing. But you're right. Like, it have to. It has to be perfect for this to be.
Yeah, I mean, they have
seals
to be lined up. Like,
yeah.
Like, and I said, face to ass.
And this guy Kelly Nash is a fisherman. He owns a fishing boat. Like, he's seen seals. He's seen seals like in a row. I don't see this. And the fact he sold it to Discovery Channel. If it was seals, he would not be selling that footage to Discovery Channel. I don't care. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Because I know that process. I've dipped my toe into that world, and I know that they're not going to pay money for something they don't think they can get their return on. And they, when they saw this thing, they knew it was something. Why they buried it, that's a whole nother story. But I'm not going to go down the road of, oh, the government made them, or, you know, something crazy like that. But to me, I think it all just comes down to the dollars. They made the special. They thought, well, if the special does well, we'll do a spinoff and we'll show the other half. And the special failed, and so they just shelved the footage. Maybe one of these days it'll leak. Maybe a cryptid fan. Hey, if anybody's out there listening that works for Discovery Channel, Toby Zenger and I, we've got, what, $20 a piece? $60.
Yeah.
$60. All you got to do is send us a video. We'll send it right back. We'll delete it. Whatever you got to do. This message could self-destruct in 30 seconds. I don't care. I just want to see the footage. So we'll pay you $60. I'll give you a free t-shirt and a koozie. $60. Let's see.
I won't tell anyone.
I just want to see
for
2 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah. I just want to see 2 minutes of the footage rather than the 8 seconds that we watched. I don't even need to see the whole thing.
So frustrating. So frustrating. But there is hope. There is hope. My next installment here is other marine creatures that have been found recently. When I say recently, I'm talking like the last 50 years, that were big, big creatures that were otherwise unknown. Justin, you earlier brought up Megamouth Shark, which I believe was discovered in 1976. I should have wrote all this down, but I didn't. But then we had the giant squid.
Fact checker Zinger on the case.
Tappy, tappy, tappy. So then we had the giant squid, and everybody's like, oh, the giant squid, it's a myth. It's a crack and whatever. Well, it showed up. And then like, oh, well, we have the colossal squid. Ah, bull. You know, and the colossal, sure enough, colossal squid. So, you know, there are creatures out there that we certainly do not know. And unlike, you know, Lake Champlain or Loch Ness, they're in the Pacific Ocean. There's tons of room for them to roam, and there's tons of food. You know, you look at Loch Ness's fish supply, and it's just not enough to sustain a large creature like that. There just isn't. And you can kind of make that same argument with Lake Champlain, but you can't with Cadborosaurus. Jeez. Okay, you can't with Caddy. It's so hard.
All right. In my research, I have found the following. Megamouth sharks grow to about 17 feet. Most males are around 13 feet. Females are around 16 feet and weigh up to 2,679 pounds. This is a creature that was discovered in November 15th of 1976, yes, about 25 miles off the coast of Hawaii. And it was entangled in an anchor of a naval ship. That's how it was discovered.
That's badass.
So
he went fishing with an anchor, basically.
I'm just saying, that's a big, that's not, I mean, in the ocean, that's like literally less than a speck of sand, but still, though, that's a pretty big animal that just kind of just so happened to accidentally get tangled in a anchor. I mean, I could see, you know, Caddy and everything, like them accidentally pulling it out of a stomach of something and being like, oh, what the crap's this? Or the numerous other times that there might have been some creature that just whalers or whoever were just like, oh, what the crap's this? It's some rotting thing. Get it off.
Well, let me ask you this question. And it's hypothetical, I guess. Would we know of the Megamouth Shark if it wasn't caught that day in 1976? Would we know? Would it be a legend? Would it be... did anybody even hear of it before that?
Good question. There have been a lot of other sightings and stuff of it more recently.
Okay.
Most of them... But, I mean, that's the thing. It would have been something to where maybe people are out looking for him.
Sure, sure. You know, research vessels.
Oh, apparently I'm looking up stuff, and apparently it does not do well against fishermen. Like, it versus fishermen is not a good combination. Because apparently fishing nets are like its mortal enemy.
Well, that's the case for most.
Because a lot of the
specimens
keep. Yeah, I know, it's sad. But, yeah, that's what keeps coming up is it was tangled in this, it was tangled in that. So, yeah, I mean, there have been some specimens, but once again, if we didn't have this, like, to originally kind of specify, I mean, who knows? And it does point out that is a very interesting discovery of one that it did take, you know, until, like, 1976 for it to be, like, verified. And who knows how many people claim to have seen this shark that everyone was just like, uh-huh, sure. And mind you, this is a very unique-looking shark, too.
Yeah.
It's an ugly shark.
It's super ugly.
It's kind of doofy.
I was about to say, Toby, do I have to screen share or do you got this?
I've been looking at it. It's an ugly sumbitch.
Well, it looks like we're coming up on our hour. So, Judge Toby, Oh, what do you got?
I was going to say, let's go to a quick break and then we'll wrap up everything.
Oh, breaks.
And see what our final verdicts are.
Yeah, I don't do those breaks. This is going to be fun.
I like that. So I want to tell you about Studio headphones real quick. We love our Studio headphones. We have the Regent model, the over-the-ear model. They have many different cool styles. You can get the in-the-ear earbuds, and they're also Bluetooth and wireless. Or you can get, like I said, the over-the-ear Regent model like I have, which I love them so much. They're soft, they're comfortable, they're lightweight. They are also Bluetooth capable, but they have a
auxiliary jack, so you can actually hook it straight into your device and use them that way, which I end up having to do quite a bit because I forget to charge mine because the battery lasts so long that I never have to charge it hardly. These headphones have a 24-hour battery life, and the quality is awesome. They are some great headphones. So, if you're looking for a good pair of headphones, head over to studio.com and use the promo code SECRET to get 15% off, and it's free shipping worldwide. It's a great deal, great headphones. Check them out, studio.com. And while you're at it, go check out Cryptid Crate. I will have an unboxing video of July's Cryptid Crate up on YouTube sometime this weekend. I've been keeping it until after this episode drops, so you can go to our YouTube channel and see what came in the July box. Now, if you go to CryptidCrate.com, you can use the promo code SECRETPOD and save 20% on your first order. Or, this is what I think you should do. Go to CryptidCrate.com and get the Cryptid Crate Lite. You can't use a promo code, but it's only $19.99. Try it out for a month or two. You'll fall in love with it. Then upgrade to the bigger crate, then use the promo code SECRETPOD, and you'll get that 20% off the first order of the larger crate. And you'll be happy with it if you love cryptozoology or just the weird in general. It's a great box. I look forward to it every month. Always interesting items, whether it's books, DVDs, t-shirts, stickers, hats, all kinds of cool stuff. So go to CryptidCrate.com. Secret Pod for 20% off your first order if you get the normal size crate. And then, like I said, the Cryptid Crate Lite is only $19.99. So go try it out. Back to the show!
And we're back. I've always wanted to say that.
Awesome. So, I guess we're coming to the point now to where I guess Toby's going to give his final verdict first, and I guess we will as well, kind of with all the evidence we've given. So, Toby, before recording today, how much knowledge did you have about Caddy?
I mean, I had no knowledge. This is one of the cryptids that I've never heard of. And in fact, really, sea creatures and stuff, they don't really... I think it's because I have a fear of the water. Like, I'm not afraid of to get in the water, but the unknown of the water. So I don't know a lot of the cryptids that are in the water because...
Oh, those are my favorite.
Those are the ones that I don't want to know about or even think about. So I had zero knowledge of this creature.
All right. So after all of our information, what we presented to you, the facts, possible, what it could be, what it is, where do you...
So I do think there is a big possibility for there to be something for this case. I think there's too many weird sightings. There's too many weird... I don't know. Like, we've been talking about these fishermen that would know their animals when they're seeing them. They know what a fish looks like compared to these other fish. They should be experts, and then they're scratching their head, and they don't know what it is. Like everything, there's going to be misidentification, but I think there is something weird and special about this particular cryptid. I think it is a cryptid. I think it is something weird, is what I'm trying to say.
I'll go next with kind of my final verdict on this, since I've kind of, I guess, played both skeptic and believer at times. Once again, the whole fisherman thing. If you're on the ocean all the time, you have to have seen a good chunk of stuff. And I mean, if they're seeing this and being like, hey, I know what I saw, that's pretty believable for me. But the other thing is something we brought up way earlier, the First Nations accounts that Native Americans saw these too and had reports but had legends and stories about creatures like this. It's just kind of, I mean, bodies washing up on shore versus they probably would be seeing stuff out in the water. Just saying. I love, actually, opposed to Toby, for Toby's complete hatred and not wanting to know anything about cryptids in the ocean and water cryptids. I love water cryptids because out of all of them, I feel they're the most plausible because there's so much unexplored stuff out there. And tell you what, if these things don't have to breathe air, how are we supposed to know where they are?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I kind of tipped my hat a little bit to at the beginning of the show, but of all the water cryptids, this is the one I feel is the most plausible for the same reasons you guys gave. There's tons of evidence. Well, there's a lot of evidence. I wouldn't say there's tons of it, but there's a lot of evidence in comparison to, say, Loch Ness or Champ or, you know, Ogopogo, any of these other water cryptids. And the location, like, it's a fertile grounds. I mean, that's where a lot of our seafood comes from. There's plenty of space. There's so many bays. British Columbia alone, I'm trying to remember the stat off the top of my head. I saw it in my research. It's 800 miles north to south, but 15,000 miles of coastline because of all the bays and inlets and peninsulas and islands and all this other stuff. So there's so much space out there. And the water's deep. The water's very deep off the continental shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of places for them to hide. There's tons of food for them. And they have been seen, and they have been apparently caught, and they have been found dead. So those are all the arguments that you usually get for cryptids. And we're like, well, here's the evidence. We don't have it anymore, but at one point it was here. So we have to at least, obviously that's not scientific fact, but we have to at least take it into consideration. It's not so much anecdotal anymore. If you have a picture of a corpse, you have a picture of an unexplained corpse, what is it? And in my mind, and for my money, it's Caddy, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to hear what the listeners think on this one. Just, you know, after they look up some pictures, yeah, because we talked about a lot of pictures in this, but, you know, after they compare to some of the other things that people were saying that they were, whether it's some kind of seal, whether it's some type of shark or something, compared to the drawings that you see, the drawings and that one picture of the possibly dead one that came out of the whale look nothing like any of the other creatures or like any of the other actual animals, you know, mm-hmm. the seals and stuff.
So it's a different body type.
I'd be real curious to see what more people think of the comparison. And I'll post these pictures on our Instagram, the Secret Transmission Instagram, which is at Secret Transpod. I'll post a ton of these. That way people can kind of compare for themselves and they don't have to search too hard for them.
Yeah. And I highly suggest everybody that's listening, go check these pictures out or do a Google search yourself, because some of this stuff is fascinating. Even if you don't believe, like, it's still a mystery. So I highly encourage everyone to, you know, watch the videos that we presented today, look at the pictures and form your own opinion. And I'm curious to see what everybody thinks as well. So good stuff.
So that also now finally is a realization for me on why there's not many sea cryptids on Secret Transmission. Well, it's all come together now.
Yeah, because I don't want to know what's in the deep.
And there's
ocean.
No snake stories either. What's the deal, Toby?
We had one snake story before, and I don't want to talk about it. I don't like snakes.
He's so, getting squirmy. I can see him on camera.
Yeah.
He's
oh no. Just
getting a little shifty.
Even, you know what? Through this whole thing, it's been giving me the chills, and I probably look like an idiot just shaking over here every once in a while when I see these stupid images of these damn things. But I just every time I see a picture of a snake or even this stupid whatever. I just think of it just wrapping around me and squeezing me, and just that freaks me out. It just terrifies me. I watched the movie Anaconda when I was way too young, I think.
It's just a little cryptid hug. It's no big deal.
A little cryptid hug. Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's the Caddy in a slimy 45-foot-long Cadbury nutshell. Flora. David Flora. So guys.
You know what it's time for now.
Puns. I wish we had a David Flora soundboard and we could just like play sounds.
I know. He's got a Sucalo sound. We need a Flora sound.
Thunder's out.
So the thunder sound is him saying thunder sound.
For those that have no idea what we're talking about, go listen to Blurry Photos. We, all three of us, love the show. David Flora, host, awesome dude.
Oh, man.
You just got to go listen. You'll understand what we're talking about. We love you, David.
Oh, man.
So anyway, yes, that is Caddy in a small, tiny nutshell. So, Toby?
I'm crying right now.
Thank you for letting us take over your show. I get to do fun things on your show I don't get to do on my show, like, say, shit. So that's fun. Zinger, anything you'd like to add or anything like that?
No, it was great to do this. This was kind of, I guess, a little peek behind the curtain. When Toby said he was taking a break, I don't even think I had asked his permission. I had messaged you actually and was like, hey, you want to do a takeover episode? I was just basically gonna go to Toby and be like, "Hey, we're taking over your show.
It was a hostile takeover.
Me asking. Yeah. This isn't me asking. I'm telling you, this is happening.
I couldn't say yes fast enough. Yes, of course.
Then we came up with the topic, and then the even better part of him not knowing anything about it, and then me having the realization. I'm like, wait a second. This isn't like describing all like sea serpents and stuff. This is a very particular type. Oh crap. I don't know as much as I thought. Let's look into
this. And the best part is that Toby's afraid of this creature. That's the best
which
part.
Which is just a bonus.
And then
you
invited me to the takeover. So
yes.
Well, we accidentally butt dialed you, so we felt guilty and left you on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I appreciate you guys doing this, you know, since we weren't even going to do any takeovers. We were just going to play old replays of stuff. So this is something new and fresh, and it's really great to have you guys be willing to help us out during our summer break tour.
I'm glad we could help out. We're anxious for your return, and we'll be sitting here with the lights on. So take your little break and come back refreshed. And I am very jealous. Although I'm about to take a 3-week break myself, I'm ending my season next week.
Wait,
I'm pretty
take
excited.
Breaks?
Well, you take them whether you're allowed to or not. I mean, the podcasting boss does not usually call you, but it happens from time to time.
Well, for my listeners who don't know, which they should know, can y'all tell us what shows y'all are from again and where we can find you and on the social medias and all the good places like that?
Sure. I've been Derek Hayes of Monsters Among Us podcast. You can find me wherever fine podcasts are sold. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and if you want, Twitter, but don't expect a whole lot.
And I was Zinger from the Zing This podcast. You can, of course, I've been on the show enough. You probably already have the links memorized
blocked.
And, you know, I'm Toby from the Secret Levels podcast, my new retro video game podcast. Go check it out. Instagram and Twitter at Secret Levels Pod. And this is my normal show. But anyways, thank you guys.
Was your normal show.
Was.
Now the fans have overly agreed to have Justin and I as your new hosts.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I can already see the tweets coming like, yeah, we don't want you coming back at all, Toby. So, thank y'all
for... We slowly edge him out.
Yeah, thank y'all for turning our listeners against us.
Anytime.
All right, well, I guess we say adios now.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Witness, every time, there's always one word that just fucks up the whole show. Okay, calm down. You guys are laughing at me now, and I'm like, shit. Not embarrassed, I'm just laughing with you.
Hey, you've heard how bad I do.
No, I do this every single time I record. There's always one line, and then once I get it over, it's over with. The problem is I'm changing the line as I read it.
That's what I do, and that's what fucks me up, too.
That's exactly what's fucking me up. I just wrote it down.
Also, witnesses describe the creature as... I don't know what the rest of the line is, so I can't go.
Okay.
Sometimes the shark looks right into your eyes. Oh, darn, I missed... Oh, damn it. Toby, edit this. Sometimes the shark looks right at you, right into your eyes. And then okay, I got a solution to this. There we go. Alright. Sometimes the shark looks right into your... God fucking damn it.
You
okay.
Sound like in Pet Sematary, it's like, don't go up there. That's hollow ground.
Never
come back.
That's the one I'm trying to do. That's what I'm going for. Is I'm like, if I can do the guy from Pet Sematary, it at least sound kind of creepy.
Fred Gwynn, that guy was great. Sorry.
All right.
Damn, he's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the shark looks right at you. Right into your eyes. And the thing about a shark, he's got those lifeless eyes. Black eyes. Like a doll's eyes. And then he comes at you. He doesn't even seem to be living. Till he bites you. Don't you go burying anything in that cemetery there. It'll come back. Won't be the same. I couldn't remember any quotes from Pet Sematary. I'm like, say something about don't bury it.
Were you reading that, or did you remember that?
No, I have it pulled up, and I was reading it. I
couldn't tell.
I had to, like, close my laptop, because I'm like, I'm going to look down, I'm going to see Toby, like, giggling, and it's going to mess me up. So there, I did that. If you want to edit that in, or just edit in the other thing of...
That'll be
I guess
at
we're
the end
back
of the
now.
Show when you have all the bloopers in there.
Yeah, that'll be it.
It's just 20 minutes of Zinger trying to do a quote.
The whole thing.
Yes.
A shallow ground up there. Anyhow. All right, should we continue?
I don't
continue?
Have any impressions.
I don't have any real ones. I guess I'm a Casey Kasem impression. That's what everybody says on my reviews. Like, dude, quit trying to be Casey Kasem. I'm like, well, I want to say
do
who,
it, do it,
I'm
do it, do it.
I know who Casey Kasem is.
He's the voice of Shaggy.
Yeah.
Right, wow. Zoinks. Okay,
I'm waiting for this Casey Kasem impression.
Huh?
Do what?
Or is that just your normal voice that they
claim? On the show, they say I sound like Casey Kasem.
Oh, okay.
What does he say? Keep reaching for the stars. Fuck, what does he say? Keep reaching for the... Damn.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Keep your head in the clouds and keep... Shit. Keep your head in the clouds and keep reaching for the stars. Something like that. I don't know. I can't remember. He's been dead for like 10 years, I can't.
The only one I do, and I'd have to really scoot back from the mic, and I don't think there's ever been a secret transmission record where I haven't done, is the Alex Jones thing, and I kind of have to build myself into that.
Yeah, that one's one of those ones where you have to have the tinfoil hat already on when you're talking about it, yeah. and then you just start slipping into it.
Once everybody
well, no,
else
great,
does it, it's just like a whirlpool. Everybody gets sucked
domino,
into
yeah.
it.
Domino, yeah.
Time to say goodbye, Roger.